Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nice.
Rise and shine, sports investors. It is another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Tuesday, October 20th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is the early line right here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. I'm Dane Martinez, and as always, I got my main man, Kevin Walsh, with me, live and direct, burning the candle at both ends, trying to give you what you need to make it a profitable day. Of course, we'll try to put the fun and functional sports content at the same time. And Kev, we had not one, but two Monday night football games as becoming part of our 2020 new normal. And we start with the one in the AFC, where the rain was coming down the entire time. I don't know how much of a difference it made. Josh Allen said he didn't like throwing the wet ball, the kid from out of Wyoming. But hey, I digress. The Kansas City Chiefs get the job done. They go to 5-1 on the road, beating the Buffalo Bills 26-17. An interesting game, right? Patty Mahomes only throws for 225 yards, although a very efficient 21 of 26. He found Kelsey in the end zone twice, and the Bills were content to let him turn and hand the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which he did 26 times. CEH with 161 yards, trying to prove to people, hey, I know we all hear about Lev Bell, but don't forget about me, with 161 yards on the ground. Although, Kev, he once again failed to get into the end zone. You know, he did, but they called it back via penalty again. But the Chiefs get the job done 26-17. What's your big takeaways from this one?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, though, they showed up and they said, oh, you're just going to give us five a clip? No problem. Yeah. And they just punched him in the mouth all game. And it got to a point, though, where they were like, all right, we got to stop the we can't stop them. They were so downhill. There was nothing they could do. And I will say this, and it could be an overreaction, but I'm not going to guarantee you that these running back splits, okay, in terms of the carries, look all that different when Lev Bell gets there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like we've talked about in terms of what is he in the goal line? Like, is it all his fault?
Sure.
He's just running up against bad luck now. I mean, it's back-to-back weeks where these are getting called back. He looked excellent. And the one thing, Dane, you talked about this with DeAndre Swift, right, the other day? Rookie backs off of a bye. Like, Clyde hasn't even hit the bye. He's only going to get better, right? That would be the expectation as a player. And Mahomes, like, the one thing that's important to note is those 10 carries for him is just making the defense pay when they turn their back and they're running downfield to pry and cover. He'll make you pay with the legs. He did it all game long. 26-17, and I think Troy Aikman on the call said, I promise you it's not that close. I promise you it's not that close. They really were in command. And Buffalo, man. Look, I was saying, you know, in terms of the AFC teams, there's a couple that I was selling, you know. Steelers took that group, so I'm not saying I'm right across the board, but Buffalo also was in that group of a team that I was selling. We've now got back-to-back weeks of them playing top AFC competition, and I would say, Dane, they look a tier below.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's somewhere I was going to go as well, right? We've been talking about the tiers in the AFC, and I agree with you. I think this outing puts Buffalo on a tier below the undefeated teams in the AFC, certainly, and of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. For me, you know, they're in the same space as maybe the Baltimore Ravens, right? As maybe the Raiders, as maybe the Colts, right? That kind of tier. Playoff contenders, but I don't think they're going to get all the way, be the last man standing at the end of January. As we welcome our radio audience in from around the country, big shout out. Thanks for waking up early with us. I also agree with you, Kev. Patty Mahomes scrambled 10 times. Darrell Williams even looked decent, toting the rock, right? And I think that is part of the reason was the Bills would refuse to allow the big time over the top play, you know? And so then the Mahomes scramble was there. Edwards-Helaire being able to run, even Darrell Williams. They get Lev Bell added to the mix starting next week. I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes away at all, but you do see Darrell Williams there on third down, whether it's out of the backfield or on the draw, maybe inside the 10-yard line. That's where I expect Lev Bell to really do work. You know, we talked about, Kev, early in the season, we talked about Leonard Fournette switching teams. And we said that he may get less work, but that work would be a lot more efficient and valuable to his real NFL team. And I believe the same thing can be said for Le'Veon Bell. Let's talk about the Buffalo side, though. I agree with you, Kev, that, you know, they have shown themselves in the last 7 days with losses to Tennessee and Kansas City, you know, not being, you know, at that elite class. I'm with you. This is a 10-6 team, not a 12-4 or 13-3 team, in my humble opinion. Now, they may be good enough to win the East, but for me, I still need, and I said it going into this game, I still need more proof points, Kev, from Josh Allen. In these big games, he did not throw the ball well, okay? 14 of 27, 122 yards, did make the mistake at the end when he was trying to bring them back in the fourth quarter. Outside of one drive, Kev, in the fourth quarter that closed this gap to 23-17, I was unimpressed with what I saw out of Josh Allen in a big spot, the spot he's going to need to deliver in if they want the Bills to get, you know, to be one of the final four teams here in the league.
He threw for 122 yards. He threw the ball more than Mahomes did in the same conditions and threw for 100 less yards. It was a garbage performance. And we can expand quickly. Completion. It was miserable. And also, we can expand quickly, but on the other side, this defense still a lot of questions for me.
Okay. We'll talk about it. We're off and running right here on the early line. Kevin and Dane talk more when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody, right here to the Early Line, breaking down these Monday night football games we saw yesterday. And listen, the Chiefs and the Bills both see themselves as contenders in the AFC. But Kev, I'm with you, right? You know, sometimes in sports we use the phrase the litmus test, right? And I believe the Bills have gone through a litmus test over the last 2 weeks. And they failed it, Kev. You know, they failed it, right? Tennessee, with everything going on against them, still punched Buffalo in the mouth. And then, you know, when they had the Chiefs in their building, and I got to tell you, in conditions that only neutralize it in a way that should have helped them, right? They couldn't get the job done. And while the score was like a 9-point game and they got to within 6 in the fourth quarter, I'm with you. At no point did this feel like Buffalo was threatening to win the game. And you're talking about their defense. This is a defense that people believe is a top 5, is banged up. Right. So we do have to make that caveat, but they don't seem to be holding up when Derrick Henry can punch him in the mouth and Patty Mahomes can make some plays to extend drives and they allow CEH to, you know, go off for I believe over 150. I don't know how they hang. It seems to me, Kev, like both of our kind of thesis again of the Bills are correct. You're saying that Bills defense is not all it's cracked up to be. And if that's the case, then guess what? Josh Allen's going to have to make plays. And I don't have confidence in him to avoid the big mistake. What do the Bills still need to do to reach that upper echelon for you?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Trust me, I don't disagree with any of the Josh Allen points. I just want to talk about the underlying issue. Because the Josh Allen thing we can all see coming. Or we should be able to see coming, right? But this they were supposed to be defense first, right? Like, this is a game performance from Josh Allen. They lose regardless, right? But there were a couple of other spots where, you know, oh, if he does this, they should be fine. You might say, ah, they held the Chiefs to 26 points. Ultimately, you know, that's under the team total. The time of possession was 38-22. They dominated the ball. That's why, by the way, there's value in just letting a team run the ball. If you can force them into field goals, it's fine. That's why when you ask about what do I want to take away, if I can take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, that's a monster win. But for Buffalo, this was a bad performance defensively. Like, don't let the final, oh, they held them to 26. No, it was a bad performance defensively. And I will make this point. We made it the other day. But here is the Buffalo stretch, okay? At the Jets, the get right spot of the
season. Ooh, their defense will look just fine on that weekend.
And then 3 weeks before their bye, host the Patriots, host the Seahawks at Arizona. That is a 3-week stretch that, if they are for real, needs to be 2-1. Not an easy ask, needs to be 2-1.
All right, we will see. I mean, you know, if you give them the Jets win, even if they go 1-2 against those other three teams that are much tougher, you add 2-2 to their current record at 6-4, they'll still be in the mix. I guess you're right. 7-3 is a lot better.
I'm talking about, you know, my believability in them. Them missing the postseason would be very surprising. Yeah, I'm talking about believing in who you are.
Right. Okay, no, that's fair, because their record will probably get them there, right? They'll be in the playoffs. The question is, would you be willing to back them against one of these other teams we're talking about that are in this second and third tier, right? Could the Bills be that litmus test team, right? Yeah. Where their defense and Josh Allen is good enough against mediocre teams to look fantastic? I mean, the man was an MVP candidate in the first month of the season. The question is, what happens when they go up and they take a step up in class, right? And we've seen that over the last 2 weeks. And in any kind of playoff game, to be quite honest, whether it's the Colts, the Raiders, you know what I mean? The Titans, some of these teams, I don't know if I have the confidence in them to deliver. So we'll keep it moving. There was another Monday night football game on the original Monday night football game for this week. And I remember telling you way back in the offseason, Kev, that this would be the third straight road game for the Arizona Cardinals, right? Now, I got to tell you something, Kev. Kyler Murray came out at the start of the game, okay? And he was off. He was off. I don't know if it was excitement because he was playing in the building where he won state championships and all that, or the big kind of, you know, primetime setting, his coming out party. But then, of course, they got rolling in the second quarter and beyond. He throws for two touchdowns. He runs for another one. Kenyon Drake with a big day, 164 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. Andy Dalton couldn't get the job done at all. However, it does look like he'll be another one of those volume throwers that I talk about, putting it up 54 times. Too bad two of them were completed to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals get the job done. They win 38-10. A lot to take away from this one, but what was your headline here?
Man, I mean, goodness me, Dane. You got to be looking at this game and looking at this Dallas Cowboys team and how it relates to the NFC East, who's going to get us ready to roll on primetime next.
Yeah.
There's a lot there, though. So I'd rather start on the Arizona side.
Okay, let's do that.
Ultimately, they were able to come out of that three-game road trip with two wins, right? Now, the Jets one was supposed to kind of be in the bag.
Right.
They got the win.
They lost Carolina.
Yeah, the spot in Dallas was the toughest of them all. They're 4-2, second in the NFC West, and what felt like something that might have been slipping after they had lost two consecutive, they now feel like they're back on the good foot. And I think the big thing, and part of the reason probably why Kenyon Drake decided, I'm going to the house instead of laying down, where the game was over if he lays down, obviously it was over regardless, is he needed to get right. A lot of Chase Edmonds talk, deservedly so.
Yeah.
But Kenyon Drake leaves this game 20-164, two touchdowns to Chase Edmonds, 5-23. Yeah. And I also thought that Arizona's defense really put forward a really nice performance in their first game without Chandler Jones. I think
Jones,
that is significant for this team's confidence moving forward, because they still were able to apply pressure to the quarterback, a lot of blitzing. Maybe this looks different against a non-Andy Dalton quarterback, but I thought this was a performance from Arizona that puts them firmly back in the mix of the NFC playoff picture, when just a couple of weeks ago, they looked like they were going to go right back to being fourth in the NFC West with a bullet.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very good point, Kev. And, you know, that's always the risk, right, when you got a second-year coach, the second-year quarterback, when they hit a two-game losing streak, right? Like, there are teams every year that come out hot and then kind of regress and, you know, turn into a pumpkin. And some people were wondering, is Arizona for real? This is an interesting win. It gets them to 4-2. You talk about them being able to put pressure without Chandler Jones, and that's obviously a huge injury for this pass rush, right? But they were able to put pressure. Kev, I direct your attention to the matchup next week when these Arizona Cardinals and whatever pressure they put on, they are in Seattle next week, Kev. And what a game I'm thinking about for that one. You know, because you're right, this offense is going to be dynamic. People are like, oh, the Seahawks, is their defense really that great? And now you got Russ being able to cook on the other side, even if they bring pressure, you know. And we got 4-2 up against 5-0 with the Rams having just fallen down in that division to San Francisco. I'm talking about a marquee matchup out west next week.
Yeah. No, it's a fantastic matchup. And you and I have done a lot of conversation about big picture AFC, right? Because it's very interesting.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with the NFC, right? If I were to say Bucks Saints, you expect both teams in the playoffs, right? It's expectation.
Yeah. Yes.
The Packers and the Bears, because of where the Bears are record-wise, there's an expectation that both of those teams will make the playoffs, right? Let's not even put a label on it. Three teams from the NFC West sounds fair, right?
Yeah.
Well, we've now run up to an issue. That's seven teams.
Yeah, one
of
them.
The NFC East, we know, is going to have to take one of those spots. So this is already shaping up But, you know, there are certain losses that you'll look back on. Arizona hosting Detroit, right? Whatever it might be. Tampa Bay losing at Chicago. There are certain losses that these teams are going to look back on that have cost them a spot in the postseason. Because right now, when you go through it, there are seven teams in the NFC that all look like they belong in the playoffs. At least one of them will not be there because the NFC East has a right to
that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. You got your two in the North, two in the South, and all three out West. One of them will be left on the outside looking in. We talk about this more after the Sports Grid news update.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Right here onto the early line. Of course, big shout out to all the radio affiliates from around the country waking up early with us. And we got big news on the radio side coming. So stay tuned for that. You know, Kev, you said you wanted to talk about Arizona first, and we did. And I believe, you know, without Chandler Jones, their defense showed up. Vance Joseph doing the job there. We know this offense is going to be dynamic, going to be exciting. I will say this, though, kind of odd that DeAndre Hopkins only catches two balls, but it didn't matter. They still score 38 points. Remember, Christian Kirk still was able to go over the top. Christian Kirk, also the former teammate of Kyler Murray, with a little bit of Texas ties, trying to get it done in Jerry World. But now we have to turn to the Cowboys, Kev. And here's my thing. I'm going to tell you honestly. Yeah, I mean, Andy Dalton made some horrendous throws. Okay, fine. I'm going to tell you, though, honest, Kev, the most concerning part about this for me was Zeke putting it on the turf twice. And the fact that, you know, listen, everybody and their mother rightfully expected, in my opinion, him to get fed. And when you have this kind of max contract and you're now the all pro that this team has to rely on and hang your hat on, you can't put the ball on the turf two times and average 4 yards a carry and literally look like the second best running back on your roster. Like, that's a problem. Talk to me about Zeke.
Yeah, he legitimately lost playing time to Tony Pollard. Mike McCarthy acknowledged it. Yeah. Not like, oh, the fumble issues, we had to go to Tony Moore. And that's not good at all. Ezekiel Elliott needs to be much better. The contract that they paid him is a disaster no matter what. But it wasn't supposed to be this bad this early. And one of the things that you and I disagreed upon coming into this game, listen, we've had many of disagreements. Some have gone my side, some have gone yours, but you said that they would come out and to be able to establish the run and control. But Dallas did what they've done all year long. They've been sloppy, they got behind, and they go into a one-way game script. Andy Dalton just threw the ball 54 times. This is the third time they've had a quarterback throw the ball 50 times in the year. He played six games. I'd say you lose football games. They haven't covered a number yet. Dallas is abysmal. Abysmal. And the narrative around the NFC East is Dallas wins by default. Dallas wins by default.
Right.
So here we are through 6 weeks, the worst defense in football, tied for the fourth most points surrendered through a team's first six games in the history of this league. And now on the offensive side of the ball, without their top eight quarterback moving over to Andy Dalton. I said before the game, it's set up for a world of I told you so's either side. Okay? So I'm trying not to walk that line. But the reality is, the worst defense in football is now supposed to be carried by a backup quarterback when a top eight quarterback couldn't get them right.
Dallas and terrible. Kev.
And that's the reality. Right.
Yep, and Kev, that's why I thought they were going to be led by Zeke. I mean, I'll still say that it was the right approach for them. That's what they should have done. And in fact, that's what they tried to do. They just were ineffective in doing so.
Which has been the case all year. They can't do it.
Not a game of outputs.
Like, 100% you're right. That's the ideal world. But they can't do it. Like, here's
the same
thing. They had two drives before he fumbled. And they were both three and outs that that were a combined less than 5 yards gained.
I hear you, Kev.
They can't get in front.
Right. And it's similar. Remember, we have talked about this, maybe not to this extent with the Cowboys, right? But we talked about teams that needed to establish the run, right? Needed to get out in front. You didn't want them in the catch-up scenario. Right? We've talked about teams like Cleveland in that way, even Baltimore in that way. Here's the thing for me, Kev. Dallas, with Dak Prescott, had the ability to maybe stay in games, try to come back with that other way. Hey, we got three wideouts. We got the kid Schultz. We got Dak who can pull miracles and keep you in it and come back, right? Not with Andy Dalton, you don't. With Andy Dalton, you become more of a team that has to, Kev, win games in the way I'm talking about, like with Cleveland or other teams. It has to be by establishing the run and then potentially let Andy Dalton do play action, that kind of stuff. They don't have the other option of letting Dak be on pace for 6,000 yards anymore. That's part of what it is. So it's even more important that Zeke can establish the run, can be fed, and can, to your point, be effective in doing so. That is clearly not the case, Kev. Now, we wake up today on Tuesday, October 20th, another beautiful day in the neighborhood, and the entire NFC East is within a game. I don't want to talk about the records. I don't want to talk about 6-10, maybe getting it done, or 6-9-1 potentially, right? I want to talk about the fact, Kev, that after six games, this division, they're all within a game of each other. Mm. Okay? You take the records out of it. You have a first place team, a team half a game back, and then two teams that are a game back. Right? And you have coming up this week, the teams playing each other in division in the NFC East, right? Both teams are going to play each other. We start on Thursday night with Giants, Eagles. And then obviously we also have Cowboys and the football team as part of the week seven slate. If we put up the NFC East division odds right now, and I know we're going to look at this. I know there were some other divisions as well, but look at the NFC East, Kev. To your point, everyone thinks the Cowboys win by default. This is now a 2-4 team that's minus money to win their division when they've got a half a game lead and a backup quarterback. The Eagles are second at plus 140. Call it 3-2, right? Okay, but we were joking. You and I are literally, you know, on the practice squad for this team. Remember that movie Miracle? It may be like that. There is literally, Kev, their top three wide receivers, both of their tight ends who are legitimate weapons, and their running back. Their six top skill players are done, and Carson Wentz leads the league in interceptions, and their offensive line is banged up as well. That's the team. That's plus 140 to win this division. The Washington football team, that's only a game back, has a head coach that's going through chemotherapy, and their best story is a guy returning from almost getting his leg amputated in a feel-good story. And there's the New York Giants, who many, like a week ago, people were thinking they might go 0-16 with a first-year special teams head coach and their best offensive weapon already on IR with a torn ACL. What do you do in this division, Kev?
So the division for the week goes 1-3, but they played one another. And had Ron Rivera not gone for two, they really might have had a week where nobody got a win. Like, they really might have had a week where nobody would have got a win had he gone for two and that game ends up tied in OT. Here's the reality, Dane. Without a shadow of a doubt, the best performance that any NFC East team had was Philly covering in a loss against Baltimore. The Giants couldn't cover a 1.5 spread at home against Washington. I think we're now all starting to come around to the idea that the Dallas Cowboys being minus money to win anything is an outright joke. Okay? The idea that they win this division by default needs to be put to bed. So minus 105, please tell that story walking. Of course, these big numbers now that sit there for the Giants and Washington become interesting.
Aren't they?
Washington has lost 5 in a row. The only teams as bad, the Jets, and of course their 6-game losing streak, and Jacksonville has lost 5 in a row as well. The Giants' only reason for not being 0-6 is because they hosted Washington. If you think for a single damn second I am going to give a team credit for not being able to cover a home number of 1.5 points to the Washington football team, you're out of your mind. Had they converted that 2-point conversion, we are talking about the Giants as a possible 0-16 candidate.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't Philly love, okay? I said all year this might be a disaster year for them. It's gone worse than I could have even imagined with injuries. There is, to me, no argument that this is not the best team in this division. I don't say that proudly. The division is a disgrace. But I really don't see the vision. They beat the Niners in San Fran. They hung around all game with the unbeaten Pittsburgh Steelers and had a 2-point conversion attempt to tie that game against the Baltimore Ravens. And they should, at least at some point, maybe, if there's anything fair in this world, get healthier.
Get up.
Maybe. Although I've been saying that, and they've actually gotten less healthier. So I don't really know how that's possible. That's what we've seen. That's what we've
seen. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, though, because with the baseball playoffs, right, you've looked at series and be like, but if they get this win, then that number for the series, the futures number, is going to change dramatically, right? There's a universe, Kev, when we wake up on Friday morning, right, and the Giants are 2-5 and the Eagles are 1-5-1. I hear you. Maybe the Eagles are the best team in the division. I'm intrigued by the plus 850, though, for the Giants, because if they win on Thursday night, that number is going to get a lot lower, right?
It's going to get lower, but what are you going to be able to do with it, right? In the playoffs for baseball, we're dealing in tight parameters and tight windows, and there's massive moves after one result. I think you just play the plus 176, especially, too, with the way Philly's banged up. That number was look-ahead line, almost a touchdown. Philly's so banged up, it's down to 4. Play the plus 176. All right.
Fair enough. You say Philly's banged up. We'll dig into that when we come back right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back in, everybody. Right here onto the Early Line, Dane and Kevin putting the fun and functional sports content, giving you the edge on the grid. Now, Kev, you know, when we were going through the NFC East and you're talking about Philly and how good the roster is, right? And I agree with you, but a lot of the roster is banged up, Kev, and they, you know, did not have any favors last week in week 6. As we see some of the main injuries, now that we could put week 6 kind of to bed, we got to do a little bit of an autopsy of it. And two of the big names from the injury report are Philadelphia Eagles. Now remember, this is already with D-Jax gone, Jeffrey gone, the kid Jalen Reagor gone, Dallas Goedert. Although, I hear Goddard may be on his way back, not this week, but the following week, because, you know, it's the short week this week, but maybe Goddard is viable for week 8, and boy, would he be somebody to check for on your waiver wire if he's available on the comeback. But I digress. Talk to me here. Ertz banged up with the foot, Miles Sanders with the knee. What does this offense like? I'm not trying to be silly, but where does this offense turn, Kev? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Greg Ward, Boston Scott. What is this team going to look like in a mere 48 hours when they take on the Giants? And I'm not joking, in a big division matchup.
No, it absolutely is. Look, I think, you know, filling in, whenever a running back goes down, if it looks like it's going to be for a couple of weeks, you look to the backup. So Boston Scott immediately becomes interesting. The question I have for you is, no Ertz, no Goddard. Eventually, Goddard comes back. I actually did grab him in a league, which was nice because I needed help with the tight end position. Deshaun might be back. Oh, he probably got hurt again.
Deshaun also could come back and last a quarter and a half, Kev. He could last like a quarter and a half.
So this is why I'm bringing it up. Okay, and this is all very depressing for me. A couple of weeks ago, and I didn't disagree at the time, but a couple of weeks ago, Travis Fulham, a Fugazi, 675 and a score, 10 targets in the game. What are we
doing
here?
That was predicated on...
I know.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point, Kev. The fantasy manager has to consistently, Kev, play the short-term versus long-term game, okay? Mm-hmm. And you make a good point about the good old Dominion kid, right?
Yeah.
If I'm going to fire on someone like Fulham, right, I need a couple of factors to be in place for my fantasy team, which may be different than yours, which may be different from anybody else's, right? I need, if I was going to go grab Fulham, I would need to have a short-term need, right? Because eventually, like in the fantasy, and need that short-term wins to really solidify my contender status. If I'm 5-1 right now, I'm not firing on Fulham because by the time I need him, I don't think his role will be the same. And I'm going to save my waiver claim. I'm going to save my fab budget for something that is a bigger leverage point for my future. Now, if I'm 2-4 and I need to get the next two wins to even be in the playoff race for fantasy, then it's a much more short-term immediate need and Fulham becomes imminently viable, right? Now, remember, I also said that last week when Ertz was still around, when Miles was still around, when these guys were still on the horizon. So you make a good point. Fulham is now like the with Boston Scott also like the last man standing. Yes, I give you that. But for me, there's also a balance of short versus long term, where my team is, what my record is, and if I need to use my budget, my claim down the road. Does that make sense?
No, but and by the way, I'm not saying, oh, gotcha, look how wrong you were.
No,
there's
of course,
a lot
of course.
Things that have happened it's since you said that.
Yeah.
My thing is, after watching Fulham now, so 2 weeks since the Sunday night game, right, where he had that miraculous catch, 10, 152 in a score, 675 in a score.
Yeah,
I'm not sure he fades into oblivion on this team when they get healthy. That's why I think he's because he's producing. Like, at the end of the day, when someone shows out like this, they just show out, right? It's the same way now in Pittsburgh. Chase Claypool is wide receiver one. Like, and you can check that for projections, DFS pricing. He's now wide receiver one. Nobody trusts DeSean Jackson. Like, at the end of the day, I'll put it to you like this. Who would you rather for the rest of the year, Fulham or DeSean Jackson? Oh, that breaks my heart to ask.
I want to not have to start either one of them. That's my answer to you.
I don't even want to ask the question, Dane.
Yeah, you know the answer, I guess.
You have to.
I have to be more stable, right? I got to be. I think Fulham is more stable than Jackson.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, next. I can't.
But here's the thing. Here's the only thing to push back on you, right? And you're right. When they perform, they don't fall into oblivion. I get you. But, you know, there's something like Mike Davis we think is going to fade into oblivion. I understand the player coming back is a completely different level. I know you are, right? But that's part of it. And we'll go into some more diamonds and fugazis. But I do want to look at other parts of the injury report, Kev, because we could have the waiver talk in a second. If we put up this injury graphic, you know, usually, Kev, we talk about running backs, wideouts, quarterbacks, right? Big time kind of like fantasy assets. The skill position players. There's two players on this list that I think is very, very important that the casual fan may not realize the importance of. And there's two teams, Kev, that play each other in a huge AFC matchup this week. I'm talking about Devin Bush, the linebacker from the Pittsburgh Steelers, the top 10 draft pick who was there to replace Ryan Shazier and go sideline to sideline. And guess what? He has for this top defense that I believe is a very big defense. Devin Bush tore his ACL today. He's done for the year. That is a critical cog. Everyone talks about Minka Fitzpatrick, Bud Dupree, TJ Watt. It's Bush that's going left and right and stopping the run game, okay? He's gone. Mm-hmm. On the other side, for the Tennessee Titans, we talk about, oh, Derrick Henry and the run game protecting Tannehill so he can go over the top. Well, guess what? Their Pro Bowl tackle, Taylor Lewan, tore his ACL as well in that game against the Buffalo Bills. He reported it himself on Twitter, but now he is done for the rest of the season. And to me, this is so critical for both of these teams. We're talking about this Pittsburgh defense. They lose a hugely important piece. We talk about what this Tennessee offense can do, whether it's King Henry or your boy top 10 Ryan Tannehill, right? The left tackle is obviously a Pro Bowl left tackle is obviously a key piece. Neither one of these guys can, in essence, be replaced. Talk to me about the impact of them both just independently, and then what it means when the Titans run game sees the Steelers defense this Sunday.
The big thing is for me, Taylor Lewan, because it's almost for Devin Bush, right? At least I could throw you like a tackle number, interceptions, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, I can give you maybe something.
Sure.
Offensive line play is still one of the most difficult things for us to wrap our head around, which is the numbers are not a part of the conversation. And yesterday watching the Chiefs, you know, Mitchell Schwartz leaves that game, right? And I know deep into the game, I heard Troy Aikman talking about, he goes, look, give Nick Allegretti a lot of credit here because they had to move Remmers to tackle to replace Schwartz. So Allegretti comes into guard. So that's sometimes the issue. Not only might the guy replacing Lewan be a downgrade, but if it requires movement on the line, I might be downgrading at two spots plus messing up continuity, which we know is important on the offensive line. So you know what's really a disaster? When the first time you're going to have to play a new offensive line grouping, see the Pittsburgh Steelers front.
That's what I'm saying, this front.
So it's one of those things. Now, listen, am I getting ahead of it and setting myself up to discredit Pittsburgh again after a good performance? Yeah, you better believe it. We're ready to discredit the whole thing. But in all sincerity, like, it's a spot that they can then possibly take advantage of. And that is significant.
Yeah, it is. I mean, think about the Eagles. And I'm sorry to go back there, but of all the injuries they have, you consider Lane Johnson pretty much the biggest one, right? Because of that impact all the time. And the casual fan doesn't necessarily think about it. And I would say, Kev, especially for a team like Tennessee that is so dependent on their run game and giving Tannehill time, right? I think it could be a big impact, and we're going to see how it plays out in what I believe is the game of the week in the AFC with Tennessee seeing Pittsburgh, a battle of undefeated teams in the NFL. So that's really big. We also, Kev, you know, for the fantasy, we talk about this, right? We know about all the injuries. We are now done with week six, and we look to the waiver wire for week seven. I always do a fantasy waiver wire video. And so I want to tell you some of my diamonds in the rough for week seven and see if you like any of them, okay? You may have lost the Miles Sanders. Joe Mixon got banged up a little bit. And also, Kev, we have to realize there are four teams with a quote-unquote regular bye this week, right? You know, the regular byes for Baltimore, who you may have some players on. Minnesota, you may have some players on. Miami, Gaskin has been a revelation. So here's three of the guys. You mentioned Boston and Scott, last man standing. I'd love to get your insight if you think the player is good. We know the opportunity is there. I'd love your thoughts on the player, but I want to make one point here. With the bye weeks coming up, always, managers, look to the teams that had their bye last week, because rosters and managers sometimes have the roster crunch and they have to drop someone because they have a bye week. That's completely viable. And I believe Justin Jackson fits that mold there, Kev. He's only rostered in less than half of leagues, so he makes the waiver claim board. But listen, he out-touched Josh Kelly in that game against New Orleans on Monday night. He was the guy, and you can have him right now in half of leagues. I know Herbert has been dynamic in the pass game, but Jackson is the running back getting the most touches for the Chargers after Eckler, and you can snap him up in half of leagues. I like him. I like McKissick also, but mostly because of the game script. He seems to be the dump down option for Kyle Allen. But what do you think about these three backs? Would you roster all any of the three? And talk to me a little bit more about Boston Scott and really give me his scouting report.
Boston Scott is good. He's not been good on the year. Good enough. I don't know. He's a running back. The whole offensive line's hurt. It breaks my heart. I'd much rather talk about the other guys. The Jackson thing is very important because for whatever reason, Josh Kelly's not the lead hand, okay? Whether it be talent, whether it be the way they see him as a back, whatever it is, Eckler was the lead hand. It then went to Jackson. So that means that it can be viable. Now, Austin Eckler is supposed to come back at some point. So you talk kind of about, you know,
short-term, long-term
view. I mean, but for a couple of weeks, can this guy be in the mix? I mean, look, they're playing Jacksonville next week, okay? You're going to see a lot of Justin Jackson in DFS leagues, right? And we're all coming up against byes, so he could very well be viable for you. J.D. McKissick is super fascinating because Washington last week had him carry the ball 8 for 41. Now, Gibson was 9
for
30. More
touches than Gibson.
And then, but McKissick, right, was 6 for 43 on 6 targets in the pass game. Gibson, 4, 25, and 5. Not a big gap, but
15, 14,
the narrative around Gibson is that this is a very fantasy viable player as the only piece of a Washington team outside of Terry McLaurin that you can turn your attention to. McKissick might fit that description. I wonder, Dane, if Antonio Gibson managers need to almost have to own J.D. McKissick. But look, that sounds kind of gross that I got to double up on Washington backs, but it might be the case here.
It's possible. This McKissick call here for me, you remember in years past, you're plugged into the NFC East. Remember Chris Thompson when he was in Washington and how Chris Thompson was more productive than any other running back Washington had because of the game flow? I feel J.D. McKissick could inherit that. When you talk about carrying both of them, I got to tell you, Kev, this season with COVID and random scheduling, I'm almost abandoning handcuffs altogether. Because if you get caught with it, it's almost double the impact. We'll talk about that more, but some names to look at. We'll come right back here on the early line, talking about another kind of football for a little bit. Come on back and find out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, right here to the early line, giving you the edge on the grid. In hour two, we got plenty to discuss, right? The World Series gets going. We've got college football to wrap our head around and more in the NFL. But we want to take a slight detour real quick as we finish up hour one. And Kev, you know, something that got us through our lockdown programming, right, was good old football across the pond. And the Champions League is back, Kev. A lot of people like to bet this, right? And you know, we're getting into the kind of the knockout stage, but I saw a kind of marquee matchup in tonight in one of the groups where Paris Saint-Germain is taking on Manchester United. And I bring this up, Kev, because, you know, I see a tasty plus 350 bet in there somewhere. Talk to me about kind of the calendar of the Champions League. I thought we just crowned one, but now we're already, you know, kind of in the group stage of this tournament. And has there been like big-time player movement on some of the big boys, you know, who get loaned out or sold and stuff like that? Let's reset the deck for elite soccer.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, but actually Edison Cavani leaves PSG to come to Manchester United. It doesn't look like he'll be making his debut in this game. But that's certainly one thing, you know, that was noteworthy. Luis Suarez goes from Barcelona to Atletico Madrid.
Isn't Messi trying to bounce also?
He was unsuccessful in that attempt. It was the most real though it's been in my time following soccer of, you know, Leo Messi actually going elsewhere. Juventus, by the way, plays in the early slate. I would not expect Cristiano Ronaldo out there. As we know, he came down with COVID. So, you know, there's going to be some interesting things. This is the first games of the group stage today.
The group stage,
right? It'll be fun to follow, get back in the mix. You know, you talk about futures markets. You can find some really nice value sometimes in the Champions League futures market. I'll just say United PSG is probably the biggest game on the board, certainly in name value. It feels like fit that description. And, you know, we come right back to see what these triple money lines look like. For PSG to be a minus 195 on a triple money line really lets you know not only what they think about PSG, but they feel like Man United is kind of stumbling a little bit, which I can't disagree with, although they just pulled off a 4-1 result against Newcastle. There might be some value on the dog.
Interesting. You know I'm taking the draw, Kev. And by the way, Man City is the favorite at plus 410. And then Bayern Munich, the rich get richer, right, at plus 430. Our number two of the early line coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.